I've got a few little things to share. I guess it all revolves around how important God's word is spoken and believed, and that we use our authority and recognize our authority as children of God, that we have Christ in us, that we have that authority to move mountains and have that believing. So I want to start out with a quote from George Mueller, and this is he says, "As the outward man is not fit for work any length of time unless he eats, so is the inner man. What is the food for the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God, not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds, just as water runs through a pipe. No, we must consider what we read, ponder over it, and apply it to our hearts." And in Romans 10:10 it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Confessing God's word from the depth of our soul is powerful. That's where we see the realization of the word. You know, the God in the beginning said, "Let there be light." He spoke it. It was his word. And when we take his word, the word of God, it's power. It says that what is it in Hebrews that the word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we speak God's word, we are an extension of God. When we say, "It is written," that's what Jesus did. He spoke the word, and the devil had to flee because he couldn't fight against that. George Mueller was a wonderful man, and he influenced a lot of people. And there was a man in the United States named E.W. Kenyon, and he inspired many people like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, all these men that were believed in how important the Word of God is to believe, to receive it. And he has. There's an article I have. It's called "What Happens in Heaven When You Speak God's Word." And when faith speaks, there is a movement, there's alignment, there's authority released, and the enemy hopes you never discover it. The Word of God speaking to you. When you speak the Word, God is speaking through you. That single truth reveals the magnitude of what happens in the unseen world when the believer opens his mouth in faith. So every time we speak God's word, it's just not words. We're just not reading a book, but we're speaking God's message and God's authority, his very word. And God designed his kingdom to operate through the speaking of his word. But when we recognize who we are as a child of God and have that Christ in us and that authority, there is great power. And I want to share the power of the prayer of command. You know, prayer is very important. And prayer, and this, you'll see what I mean here. It sounds kind of different because you don't think of a prayer of command, but it's how a prayer is made. And this is a book by Robert Wilkinson on the gifts of healing. And the prayer command, if we're going to do the same works that Jesus did, if we're going to heal the sick, then we must follow his example and do it the way he did it. After all, he is our Lord and Savior. In doing so, we must realize that Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. You think, what? That is, if you read all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see there's not one record of Jesus praying for the sick. Then what did he do? He commanded the healing. He gave instructions. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand." To the lame man, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." To the man born blind, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." To the dead daughter of Jairus, Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, "Damsel, I say unto you, arise." To the evil spirits he said, hold your peace. It says in the modern day English, shut up, come out. And to the wind and sea he said, peace be still. The list could go on and on. Of all the instances recorded in the Bible of Jesus healing a person, nowhere does it state that he prayed in an intercessory prayer such as, God, please, I ask you to heal this person, or God, I thank you for healing this person. No, he did not ask God to heal the sick. He knew that he had been given power and authority, so he did it. How? He issued commands. He spoke in imperatives. The Bible states that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power in Acts 10:38. He spoke words of life and thereby released the healing power of the Holy Spirit that was in him. That anointing lives in us. Jesus taught his disciples to pray with that same power and authority, to see miracles happen, as recorded in Mark 11. We are also his disciples. Let's read the words of Jesus and allow him to teach us also. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Did you notice that Jesus is teaching how to pray? "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray." To better understand this lesson on prayer, let's read and consider the verses that come before. Mark 11, 12 through 14. "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." Verse 13, "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, that no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, and his disciples heard it." He made a command there. Jesus spoke to the tree. He said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." The next morning, Jesus and his disciples walked right past that same tree. Something had changed. Mark 11, 20-21, "And in the morning as he passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." This fig tree dried up from the roots. Normally, a tree does not die this way. You notice the death of a tree in the upper leaves first. This tree dried up backwards and overnight. Then Jesus immediately launched in his teaching about prayer. Mark 11, 22-24, "And Jesus answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God." The Greek reads, "Have the faith of God." Verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain." If you want to see miracles, miracle working power of God come forth, you must be specific. You command the mountain. A mountain could represent a huge, insurmountable problem you're facing. You tell the mountain what to do. You tell the tree to dry up. You tell the lame man to get up. You command the storm, and you tell it what to do. It is the prayer of command. One great error the children of God have made is they have not realized who they are and the power and authority they have been given. And so they go about asking God to heal people. God says, "No, no, no, you do it." They go to God as beggars. We are not beggars. We are sons and daughters of God, filled with power and expecting great things. We are not victims. We are more than conquerors. We reign in life as kings. Our Father is God Almighty. He will freely give us all things. God always gives us the victory. We walk in dominion and rulership as Adam did in the garden. Here's a mistake we make. Let's say our friend is in the hospital sick. We go to the hospital to see our friend to pray for him. And so we start, Lord, here we are at the hospital. My friend here is sick. Lord, I ask you to heal him of this terrible condition. He has a wife and children at home. They need him. And he has been such a faithful church member. Please, Lord, do something for this man. Reach down and we go on and on, pleading, begging God to do something. No, no, no. Stop asking God to heal people. It rarely works. Instead of praying to God and trying to convince him to do something as if he really doesn't want to, you pray the prayer of command like Jesus did. You command healing. You know you have been given power and authority over the sickness, disease, and devils. So you speak to the disease and tell it to get out. You speak to the pain and tell it to leave. You speak to the body and tell it to do what you want it to do. Back be healed. Right, Shati?
Right.
Kidneys, I command you to start working. Cancer, I curse you. Get out now. Remember, Jesus spoke to the tree. Remember, he said, whosoever shall say into this mountain, if you speak to the problem, it will obey you. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Every knee must bow to Jesus, Philippians 2:10, and the NLT says, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You have Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. If you command healing, the power of God will come forth. And Luke 22:42 was a cornerstone for all mankind. Jesus was to the point in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was asked, he knew what his purpose was, that he needed to die. And he had such a wonderful relationship with God that he was able to say, Father, if this cup could pass from me, but the great prayer and the thing that the devil doesn't want to hear is, but not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
You know, when we take away the things that we want and we're trying to do things our own way, we allow God to work in it, we see great deliverance. And that's what the adversary doesn't want. He doesn't want us trusting God and speaking the word with authority and love. And then in Acts 19:20 it says, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. So when we speak the message of the whole word and how God is such a good Father and he only wants blessings for us, that people will see deliverance, because who steals, kills, and destroys? The thief, the devil. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's who we represent today. And we have that authority to speak to anything that has a name. And that name must obey, come bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight.
Thanks.